You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome back to another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo. I'm a writer and entrepreneur in California. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Rob. So good to have you again with us today.
And it's good to be back. You ran Micrel, a very successful semiconductor company, for the better part of four decades in Silicon Valley. You are particularly proud of the culture at Micrel. Tell us a little bit about the culture. And what I want to kind of focus on is, you know, you have a diverse work environment there. You have males and females working together, you know, people of a variety of races. What was the culture like at Micrel?
What I try to focus on and to encourage is fairness in all respects. So the first culture that we had was honesty, which means you're going to tell the truth. The next was integrity, which is doing what's right when no one's watching. It comes from the heart. You just know you're doing right because you feel good about it. The third is dignity of every individual, you know, showing respect and tolerance for all, not based on their gender, their race, or any other aspect, but that every person has a same rights and the same capabilities to succeed in life as anyone else. And there was no discrimination at Micrel that I'm aware of anyway. We also had a culture of no swearing because we feel that using vulgar language or condescending language is not respectful. And so that's the other thing that we did, was to focus on the way we treated one another. And the last is, of course, doing whatever it takes, no excuses. Meaning, if you make a mistake, we all understand we make mistakes, but let's correct them.
Let's talk about company culture and the business climate today as it relates to gender equality or inequality, as the case may be, in the workplace. And I'm not sure if it's becoming a bigger issue now compared to how it was in the early years of Micrel, but if we're just starting to see or hear more about it. But looking through the lens of so many decades of experience as a manager, as a business operator, what are your thoughts about women in the modern workplace?
You know, as I mentioned, the one culture that we had at Micrel is dignity and respect for everyone, irrespective of their gender, race, or beliefs. And so it doesn't matter, you know, who you are or what you are. It's really how you do your job. And this is the thing that we focused on. So it wasn't one of, oh, well, you know, we got to make sure we have the, you know, our share of men and or our share of women or our share of this particular race. We didn't look at it that way. We looked at it as a family. You know, when you, you know, have families and you don't know whether you're going to have a boy or a girl, you know, that's something that's determined by nature. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to discriminate even at birth or during life. I was at a event where I was a speaker at San Jose State University, and I told them that women are actually better than men. I actually said that, and I believe it. I've been married 56 years to the same person, and I cherish that relationship deeply. And so I don't put her in a box and say, you know, hey, this is your job. You know, we just work together as a team, and she knows what she can do better than I can. And I know what I can do better than she can. And we're a team. And so I don't try to do her job and she doesn't try to do my job. We just work together. And that's what a team's all about. As they say, there's no I in team. And there's another saying that behind every good man is a better woman. And I believe that. I don't mean behind, meaning standing behind. I mean supporting.
Yeah.
You know, and so my wife has been very supportive of me because I've been very supportive of her. And I was counseling someone regarding their marriage or their upcoming marriage. And the young man said, well, I'm concerned about what kind of wife she's going to be. And I said, you got it all wrong. You should be worrying what kind of husband you're going to be, not opposed to what kind of wife she's going to be. And so if you worry more about them than you do yourself, then you'll succeed. I had a saying at Mike Krell that was, if you worry about you, I won't. Meaning if you're going to focus on yourself, then I'm not going to worry about you, because you'll take care of yourself. But if you let me worry about you, you're going to do a whole lot better. Are women less capable than men? Absolutely not. As I said in my talk last night, I said women are better than men. And the reason I say that is not to, to degrade men, but to elevate women, meaning give them more value and importance. And rather than this be a male-dominated world, we ought to be this as a coexisting world where we work together. Women are in many respects far more capable and have more abilities than men do. I don't look at it that way. I mean, as I said, I've been married for 56 years, and I love my wife dearly, and I would do anything for her. And that's the way we have to look at it. I'd do anything for my children too, but my wife is my partner, and I want her to feel elevated, and not only in my eyes, but in others' eyes. So I always talk about, I couldn't get to where I am, I've done what I've done, without my wife, because she was the one that really has helped me accomplish the tasks that I have. And I think that I've helped her accomplish what she's been able to do. So this is the way I look at it. No I in team, and I want all the women out here there who listen to me make this podcast that, you guys are better than we are. And I have no doubt about that. My mother is really who I am. She built my moral character, and I owe everything to my mother. She was she labored with me 3 days, 72 hours in childbirth. Wow. I mean, what man could even think of tolerating that?
Let's finish up by saying, or just asking the question, put yourself back in your CEO shoes as your top level manager. And let's say that somebody has violated that culture that you had at Mike Krell for so long, and you have a female employee, a woman, who believes that either she's been wronged or mistreated so discriminated against or somehow or another disadvantaged because she's working with somebody who has a problem with her gender. What would you recommend to anybody out there listening who might be in that situation? Should they be go to their boss, come to you and say, this is my situation. Can you help me work it out?
My door is always open. So that meant that anyone could come to me, and you don't have to go to your immediate supervisor or to their supervisor. They were perfectly flexible and able to come and see me directly. And some issues where they feel disenfranchised in some way, they should come to the top and feel that they have that flexibility and that ability to do it, and not with the fear of being terminated. So are there times when women do this just out of spite? Yes, I've had that happen. I've had thousands of employees work for me over the years. And sure, there are times that I've had women come and inappropriately cause us to take action against a man for something that they alleged that was done to them. But we looked into it and we gave it thorough investigation, even though it looked like on the surface anyway that there was some kind of game going on here. But by and large, when women have come to me with an issue of some level of discrimination, we've taken it seriously and we've taken action, and men have been fired over the actions that they did that were inappropriate. So yes, absolutely. I'm in my company way. I would urge those who have leadership positions in their company, allow your employees to come to you directly if they have an issue with someone.
Because it's a lot easier than going out and making it public or something before you've actually asked, you know, hey, can you fix this? And when I was in the military many years ago, and I spent many years in the military, and I can tell you from personal experience that male and female soldiers alike can do that thing where they just out of spite or something go up and make a complaint about somebody and raise a stink, so to speak, around something that really is just a personal matter where there was a conflict in the relationship, and as a way of getting back at somebody says and suggests something. And I know when you were describing, you've had women that have come in and were doing something that ultimately was complaining about something that ultimately was unfounded, that can go both ways. That can be the male half coming in and saying, hey, I have a problem with this woman because of the issue, right?
Well, I have an example. I have a friend of mine who was a dentist in the military. He's in the Army. I think he was a level captain, I believe. He was a good dentist and was in the military for many, many, many years. Served well in foreign lands as a dentist. And he had two female assistants, military. He had often referred to them as gals. Hey, gals, let's get going on this, or, you know, and they took that offensively. He didn't think that was offensive. I mean, obviously he wouldn't have done it if he thought it was offensive, but anyway, they took it up the line, to his boss, that he had been calling them gals. And, he of course, you know, apologized. I mean, once he found out that calling them gals was offensive to them, he immediately stopped. But that still tarnished his record, and it caused him to have to leave the military early, because that stopped his ability to raise and his rank in the Army. So you know, sometimes you don't, you know, you may be offending someone, you may not even know it, because you know, everybody has a different view of how certain, you know, words or actions are perceived. Here's an example of this poor guy. He was forced to leave the military just because two of his assistants turned him in for calling them gals. So,
well, we can certainly continue this conversation for a long time. We can also plan ahead and do another podcast on this, and perhaps there's a listener out there who's thinking, wow, the two guys are talking about women in the workplace and they don't have a representation of female there. I think that this is a good time to say, if you're in the business world and you're a woman who wants to talk about this sort of thing, you can be on the show. But what you have to do is reach out to us at toughthingsfirst.com and ask. Just propose that you'd like to talk a little bit more about this. Ray would be happy to talk to you. And, of course, anybody else out there who wants to take a shot at being a guest host here on the Tough Things First podcast can do so, again, by reaching out to us at toughthingsfirst.com. And, of course, find us on Facebook. And Ray, of course, is out there on social media all over the place, Twitter. And you can read his book, Tough Things First, available at major book retailers and Amazon. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thanks again, Rob. It's always good to be with you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.